But we're having a one-day conference, and a guest speaker by the name of Rick Manis is going to be here, and his wife Judy, and they're awesome people, and they get it. They get it. They understand the grace of the Bible. When your eyes are open to this, guys, you'll never be the same, and you'll never see it. I remember when my eyes started being open to, you know, oh, we're not under the law. We're under grace. It was like, I just said, well, wait, let me learn more. And then you find out that, you know, grace upon grace, and where sin abounded, guess what abounded more? Grace. So you can go out and sin all you want to, but guess what? God's grace is greater than that. You know, we're going to get into that this morning. But remember, July 26th, that's going to be the next day. And I want to thank Jeff and Bill and everybody for their hard work on the kitchen. That's coming along, looking nice. So let's get into the promise. And we're going into the last section of Galatians. So we'll start in Galatians chapter 3, verse 15, and we're going to get through chapter 3 today. And so the promise, and what's going to happen here is Paul does an outstanding job of explaining the difference between the law of Moses and the promise that was given to Abraham. Because you remember the promise that was given to Abraham, I will bless those that bless thee, I will curse those that curse thee. In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Key word, all. Not just the nation of Israel, but all. Signifying the prophecy of the Gentiles, who were never included in the Mosaic law, would be also blessed. So we're going to dig deep today, and I got, 23 slides. So I'm going to try to get through this. Hopefully we can get through this and without boring you. But he says, brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. What does he mean by that? A man's covenant, we make a handshake, right? I remember when I bought my house up at Timberlakes. It was a handshake. I'll take it. Then we signed a piece of paper. And then it says, I promise to buy your house for this amount of money. So 30 days later, we're going to close. What would have happened had my friend, it was actually a guy I used to know, Andy, what would have happened if Andy had said, Chuck, changed my mind. Price just went up 50 grand. Hold on. We had a contract. We had a deal. You can't go changing the deal. Okay? The deal was X amount of money for this house. You can't, so that's what he's saying. Even in man's terms, we don't break contracts. You know, go to buy a car. Think about going to buy a car. How much? Well, nowadays, 100 grand. Yeah, okay, 100 grand. Okay, where do I sign? Right here. And then you go to buy it. You go to get it delivered or whatever, and the guy says, never mind, it's actually 120. What? No. We had a deal. So Paul's going to explain here the deal with Abraham, the promise to Abraham, was not broken or not interrupted by the law of Moses. He's going to do a good job of it here. So he's saying men don't even break contracts. So verse 16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say and to seeds as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. Okay, so the seed is Christ. That's who the promise is going to come through. Not through many people, not through men, but through the seed. And that's the seed of God is going to be Jesus. So who is our promise? It's none other than Jesus. Born of the tribe of Judah in Bethlehem, coming out of Nazareth, he is our seed. Amen? Verse 17. And I love it when Paul says this because Paul's kind of difficult to understand sometimes. He says, what I'm saying is this. The law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. Now, that just means what I just said. If I'm going to buy a house for X amount of money, you can't go and change it later. So what came first, the promise or the law? The promise. So the promise came first, actually 430 years before the law. So the promise can't be ratified. The promise can't be broken. Who in here thinks God can break a promise? He can't. There's several things God cannot do. He cannot lie. Right? Lynn sent me a little something this week too. It's kind of similar to that. He cannot lie. He cannot change. Right? So there's things that God says a promise, and he swears it by himself. There's no one greater than him. So he swears it by himself. That's what he did to Abraham. Since he had no one higher to swear by, he swore by himself. So it's a promise between God and God. And we're going to hear in a minute that there's a mediator involved in this promise. A mediator is someone who goes between. Okay, if you have a dispute, me and Tanya get into an argument about something. So I said, Lynn, why don't you mediate? So the mediate kind of, well, Tanya, I see your point. Okay, Chuck, I see your point. Well, let's try to come to an agreement here. That's a mediator. So he's saying that this does not invalidate the law. The promise is not invalidated. So the promise came first. And it says, if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by the means of a promise. Okay, am I making sense to you guys? What he's saying here is the promise is greater than the law. Jesus is greater than the law. We're going to get into this as we go. So the promise, you can't have it both ways. The promise is either through the law. In other words, there's six. How many laws are there? We think of the Big Ten. The Big Ten Commandments. There's 613. So you either obey all 613, Russell, or you by faith receive the promise. Which way you want to go? Amen. Amen. We're going to go by faith, right? Because we're going to see why the law is brought in here in a minute. Why even bother with the law if the promise can't be invalidated? There was a deal cut. Okay? There was a deal cut. When God made a contract with Abraham, so I'm going to bless these and bless you. I'm going to curse those and curse you. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed in you. And the seed is Jesus. So you can't have it both ways. It's either the law or faith. So why then the law? That brings us to a good question. Why then the law? What is even the purpose of it? Well, most Christian churches, most Christian pastors will tell you this. Oh, well, it's a good thing to try to live by. You know, those Ten Commandments, it's good for us to try to, you know, it makes us more Christian. And it's just a practice. It's kind of like training wheels for the faith that's good to come in. And they mix it and we get really confused. Rather than just saying, no, what is it for? It was added because of transgressions. Having been ordained through, now you're going to love this, having been ordained through who? Angels. By the agency of a mediator, until the seed would come, there's a lot in here, to whom the promise has been made. So here it is, the angels ordained it. I think I've got this next slide here. We'll go one more. The law ordained by the angels, delivered, the mediator was Moses. Remember, he came off the mountain with the two big stone tablets. He was the mediator between God and the people. So here we go, guys. Here's the law. Now, why did we just read Hebrews chapter 1? Because why did Paul in Hebrews chapter 1 talk about how greater Jesus was than the angels? Why did he talk about how greater Jesus was than Moses? Why did he even need to mention that? Well, it all makes sense right here. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than the angels. Therefore, what Jesus brought, faith, righteousness by faith is greater than what the angels brought in. Grace is greater than the law. Do you see it? Jesus is the higher priest. He is the better priest of a better covenant, Hebrews says. Okay? So understand this, that the angels ordained it, Moses delivered it, and Jesus is greater than all of them. And so he's going to bring that in. So we'll back up one slide. I want to back up one slide to the promise, the law until the seed. I emphasize that. Notice that word, until. The law until the seed. And if we back up one more, we'll read it again. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained, verse 19, through angels by the agency of a mediator, Moses, until who? Jesus. Well, when did Jesus come? Jesus came and fulfilled the law. There's no more law. Jesus says, it is finished. There's no more law. Now, if you want to try to go back under that and try to keep that, good luck. So the law was given to show us that we are sinners. The law was given. See if I lost my notes here. Law ordained through angels. And it we either accuse or defend ourselves. Think about this. We either accuse or defend ourselves. And so we're like, you know, defending ourselves against, well, I'm not that bad. Well, I'm kind of good. Well, I've kept some of the commandments. Well, have you kept them all? Well, no. So the law is there, and we're going to see here in a minute, it's a tutor that was brought in. So let's go to verse 20. Now, a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means, like I said, this is not about us doing our part. Okay, this is not about Abraham doing his part. This is between God and God. For Hebrews talks about, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself. So since God can swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. So you're in a covenant between God and God, and you're caught in the middle. Go back to analogy, Tanya, where you and I are in a dispute and Lynn comes in. Well, now you're in a covenant between God and God. There's nothing good but good there, and there's nothing but guarantees there. So go to verse 21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, did you hear that? If a law had been given that was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been by the law. Does anything written down on stone give you life? No, the Bible even talks about this, the idols they would make these little gods that would have eyes to see and ears to hear, but they couldn't. They had eyes that couldn't see, ears that couldn't hear, mouths that couldn't speak. They set the little idols up all around and worship them. So your idol can't do anything. So the law has been given. The law, the righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. So if the law had been given, which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed been based on the law. God is the only one who can impart life. Amen? If you are a believer by faith, you are righteous. The promise, righteousness only comes to you when life has been imparted. Think about this. It's not performance. It's not you do your half. I'm going to keep my half, and we're going to make this deal. And you make this deal with God. I'm going to obey this law. The law came, we're going to see in a minute, came in as a tutor to teach us that we're sinful, to show us that we're sinful. So righteousness only comes to you when life has been imparted. God is not pretending you are righteous. Now, some of us will say, well, God, he when he looks at you, Bill, he doesn't see you, he sees his son. That's not correct theology. He sees you. You are righteous. Wow. Think about that. Because if righteousness has been imparted to you. So you have the righteousness of God. If you are a believer, you have the righteousness of God. It's not like, you know, God just looks at you and says, okay, well, I used to know you were a sinner, and now I'm covered you up for a little while with the blood, and I see my son Jesus, therefore I can love you. No, you are righteous now. He loves you, Russell, Garrett, everybody in here, for who you are, because you have the righteousness of God. Understand that. When we walk around, we are the righteousness of God. We have to understand our DNA has been changed. We have had like an infusion. We've had like a blood transfer. The old blood is gone. His blood is on us and in us. We walk around with life and light in the world. We are the light. And so it's nothing to brag about. It's just who we are because of the impartation of Jesus, of his righteousness. So we see that the scripture has shut up everyone under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So what the law does, guys, is shut you up. You remember the analogy it gave last week when the woman caught in adultery? And the Pharisees, the religious people, brought the woman and said, Jesus, what do you say we do with her? Moses says we should stone her. What do you say? And you remember how he knelt down on the ground and started writing with his finger. And the scripture doesn't say what he's writing. There's a lot of speculation. One speculation I think is kind of cool is that he was writing the sins of each one of them. And they were all standing around in a circle going, oop, that's me, I'm out of here. And oop, that's me, I'm out of here. But I don't want to add to the scripture. I'm just saying that's a speculation. It could have been he's writing something else. It could have been writing, you know, what he said when he stood up. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. So the law indicts everybody and shuts their mouth. What did they do? One by one, they walked away. Where are your accusers, woman? I have none. Neither do I accuse you. See, Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He didn't come to say, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. You need to improve your life. You need to start going to church. You need to start watching your language. You need to start watching your behavior. It's not a behavior improvement modification program, guys. If you want a behavior modification improvement program, there's plenty of them out there you can go to, and they'll last a little while as long as you're in there. And then all of a sudden, I'm tired of going to that. And you go out and you're back to your old self. Jesus gives you a new heart. You become a new person. You become the righteousness of God, of Him. Literally. So you don't need a behavior modification program. You don't need a bunch of rules saying, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, because you're not going to keep them anyway. No one ever did, no one ever has. So the scripture shut up everyone under sin so that he's talking about the law has shut up everyone so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to who? Those who follow the law? No, to those who believe. Wow. 613 of them has shut us up. So before faith came, verse 23. I'm actually thinking I want to make it through this. There's just a lot here, guys. It's just really deep. And to really grab it, you got to go back and read the Old Testament and just really understand all the Levitical laws and all the stuff that was given. And it was given to them to show them that they are sinners. That's why it was given. It was like a mirror that reflected back and says, you're a bad guy. You know? And because you can't keep this. So therefore, the promise. And so before faith came, we were kept, and here it says, we were kept in custody under the law. And we were in prison, guys. Anybody ever been in prison? Don't raise your hand, you don't have to. But if you've been in prison, Everybody raised their hand. I said that in Everglades one time. I'm like, well, everybody's in prison. Well, I used to preach in the prisons, but you were imprisoned. Now think about this message that's being preached today by most churches. It's a mixture of grace and law. Well, you're saved by faith, but you still need to try to live by the Ten Commandments. Don't you think that's a good thing, Chuck? I said, no. No, you're perverting the gospel here. It's about Jesus. I'm righteous because of him, not because I'm trying. And God bless the guy. He sent me this morning. He's a friend of mine. He's a pastor. But he sent me this morning. He sends me stuff all the time. And it's this long little devotional. And it says, practice these things. I'm like, what? Practice these things? We're not practicing, guys. We're living. We're not practicing how to behave. We're not practicing to be good. We are good. We are righteous because of his blood. We want to do the righteous thing. We want to love. We want to give. We want to have patience. We want to be kind. We want to love our neighbor. Not because the law says so, because it's written down somewhere. Let me see what I got to do today. Well, let me go look at the 613. Well, I can't do this. I can't do that. And I got to do that. And now I'm going to go try among myself to be good. We already are. We don't have to practice, guys. It's game time. There's no more practicing. It's game time. You've been born again, redeemed, bought by the blood. Hallelujah. And so the law came in and imprisoned us and shut us up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Amen. And this is why we can just say amen to the glory of his coming. Because if he had never come, we would still be under indictment and we would still be guilty. And we would still be going like they did in the Old Testament every year up to the temple to sacrifice the blood of bull and goats and animals to get us covered for a little while. Because remember, how is sin forgiven? Do you ask God for forgiveness and you're forgiven? No. You don't just pray a prayer and say, God, please forgive me. You're forgiven by the blood. The blood is the only thing that can forgive you. So when you believe, you're forgiven. Now, you may feel bad about something you did or something, and you say, well, I need to pray about this. I really need to repent of this and ask God for this. That's fine. If you want to do that, that's why it's called a relationship. That's why we're his sons. We're his daughters. Talk to him. Listen to him. Amen? But the only thing that forgives us is the blood. And specifically, the blood of Christ. So therefore, the law has become our tutor. Here it is, guys. Why the law? Anybody ever had a tutor? I had one in school. But I never even thought I would make it to college. My grades were so bad in high school. I played baseball, went hunting, fishing, and tried to play a little golf. But I was never any good. And that's about all we did. That's all there was. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have Google. We didn't have games. I remember when Pac-Man came out. I spent about $100 on Pac-Man. You know, but it's like we didn't have all that. So I got a tutor at one time, said, I got to get through this math class. Can you help me? Sure. So the law is our tutor. It's going to lead us to Christ. It's going to show us that we're sinners. We were sinners. But it's going to show the whole world. It's going to shut up everybody and say, if you're as righteous as this, if you're as holy as this, the only one is God. So how are we justified? By faith. Here it is again. Justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Quit flirting with Moses, people. You're having an affair on God. You're out there flirting with Moses. Well, I need to try. I need to try to obey the law because, you were never under the law in the first place. unless you were a Jew 2,000 years ago. And then when Jesus came, there's no tutor anymore. We're done with you. And if you go back and you look at, if you were to go back and ask Abraham, Abraham was given the promise. How many years? 430 years before Moses. Go back and ask Abraham, hey, you ever heard of Moses? Nope, never heard of the guy. Because the promise came first. Right? For all, you are all sons of God, parentheses, daughters. And you'll see this in a minute too, that we're all equal in the sight of the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ. Say, I'm a son. Say, I'm a daughter. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. Amen. Amen. Who's your daddy? When you're having a hard time, guys, when you're having a hard day, just think about it. Who's your daddy? The God of the universe. Just think about that. You don't have because you don't ask. Ask Him what you need. You know, you need help with your kids. You need help with your finances. You need help with alcohol, kicking drugs, kicking alcohol, whatever. Ask Him. God, help me. He will help you. Just like the prayer I prayed yesterday. Very specific. Extremely specific prayer. And I added to it, God, please let it happen soon. 5 minutes later, bam. I didn't even think about it. I'm out mowing the grass. I had to stop and go, wow, God, you're crazy. God, you are crazy. Crazy good. Crazy good. How does that happen? You know, either I'm crazy or God's crazy. You know, either I'm imagining this or it was specifically what I asked Him. And I even put a time on it. Soon, soon, God, I need to hear from you. Soon. And I know Bill and other people are praying right now for things in your life that you need to have happen soon. We talk about this all the time, how impatient I am. Go ask my wife. It is absolutely a battle for me. Especially I get out on the highway. Got some slow guy in the left lane. I can just feel my blood pressure coming up. I'm like, let me get a big old truck and bust him off the road. And I'm like, well, that's not very Christ-like, Chuck. Would Jesus do that? I don't know. He might run him over. I don't know. He might run him over. But I'm just saying, patience. Pray for whatever you need. Do you need patience? Pray. Pray. God, help me. You know, my dad's praying right now. He's 93. You know, God, help him with his pain. And we talked about this yesterday, too. The ultimate healing is going to be with Him. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. So what we you know, you get older, you get my age, 85 years old, no, 62. When you get my age, you start thinking more and more about, you know what? Most of my life is done. I've got maybe, I don't know. Anna, how old's Anna? She's battling cancer right now, fighting for her life. Brain cancer, serious stuff. I lost my mom at 56. 56 from lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease. She was diagnosed 9 months later. She's with Jesus. Glory to God. She suffered and she laid around. She lost all her hair and she suffered and threw up every single day on the couch. And what an amazing thing to go to be with Jesus. What an amazing healing. Amen. So we're all sons and God, sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus. And the promise for all of you who were baptized into Christ, that doesn't literally mean water baptized. If you haven't been water baptized, you might want to do that sometime. But you don't have to do that. That's not a requirement. There's no requirement other than believe. But here again, people will try to put all these requirements on you. Oh, if you haven't been baptized in water, there's nothing special about water, except it tastes good on a hot day. It's just a symbolic of the death and resurrection. You're dying to the old self, raised to the new life. And Jesus himself did it. So if you want to be baptized, get baptized. But being baptized means being you're immersed. You've got a new life in Christ. And look what it says. You have clothed yourselves with Christ. Huh? You are clothed with Christ. You are literally wearing Jesus. Ask yourself, how close are you to God? You're literally wearing Jesus. You're literally wearing him around everywhere you go. Look. I've clothed myself with Jesus. Nothing can touch me. Nothing can harm me. What do I fear? Nothing. Embrace your fears. Go forward. God is with you. If God is with you, who can be against you? No one. So we are literally clothed with Jesus. And here Paul explains it all. There's neither Jew nor Greek. The world wants to divide us, right, guys? Oh, you're one of those Democrats. Oh, you're one of those Republicans, those haters. You're one of those, what are you? Oh, you're neither one. Well, you don't count. And what do we do, guys? What are we quick to do? We're quick to categorize. We're quick to categorize people. I'm going to put you in a category and label them. And then what do? Dismiss them. That's what we do. We categorize people, then we label them, and then we dismiss them. Here's God saying there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen? And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants. Amen? How does that happen? Because, well, I'm not Jewish. Abraham was Jewish. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. I'm not Jewish. Well, if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's descendants because heirs according to the promise. All nations will be blessed through you and through your seed, Jesus. The promise Paul is teaching, the gospel, is an inheritance. We're going to close it out here, guys. I know I threw a lot at you today. I'm sorry. But it's just a lot. There's so many solid gold nuggets in here. If you just take one of them home, you'll be better. So Paul is teaching that the gospel is an inheritance. An inheritance is what? It's not earned. Do you earn an inheritance? No. It's something, somebody dies and leaves it to you. Well, who died for you? Jesus. He left you an inheritance of the kingdom of God. You didn't earn it. You were given it. No one is earning or achieving an inheritance. It's freely given because of a death. And when I die, my kids are going to not get a lot. I know some people, like, well, let's say Donald J. Trump, well, hey, man, can I get Mar-a-Lago? No, I don't want to pay taxes on that. Some people leave so much behind, their children have to sell it. They can't afford to keep it. So it's freely given. It is not about what you achieve. Listen to this. It's not about what you achieve. It's about what you receive. It's not about trying. It's about trusting. Amen? Amen. The promise by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's so much in there, guys. It's just, go back and read over that. The last chapter, or just read the whole chapter of Galatians 3. And just Paul does a great job of explaining that, okay, the law came along later. The promise was given 430 years before the law. The law came along 430 years later. It does not ratify, it does not change the promise. The promise has always been by faith. It was accounted unto Abraham. His faith was accounted as righteousness. So is yours. And you can go around and tell people you are righteous. And they will look at you like, boy, you are really proud, aren't you? No, I'm just speaking truth. Well, how are you so righteous? How are you so perfect? God made me this way by faith. Ooh, can't touch that. I didn't do anything. I didn't give away everything I had and gave it to the homeless and sacrificed my whole life and went around the world preaching the gospel and earned it. It's just given to me. And you think of the prodigal son. Went out and wasted everything. And as soon as his father saw him, he ran to him. Go kill the fattened cow, the fattened calf. We're going to have a feast. My son was lost. Now he's found. And it's the same way Jesus embraces each and one of us. Every time someone comes into the kingdom, every time someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ, the angels, it says the angels in heaven rejoice. Because we pulled another one out of the pit of hell. We pulled another one that was lost out and put him back in the flock, the true flock, with the true shepherd. His name's Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for another look at your word and just open our eyes, Lord, that we may see just the amazing, amazing grace that you've given us through faith. And that we are righteous through you. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.